In the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Stewarding Sunday. Hear this text from Timothy again, which Pat shared with us. Instruct those who are rich in this world's goods that they should not be proud and set their hopes not on money, which is untrustworthy, but on God who gives richly all that we need for our happiness. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, generous in giving, and always ready to share. This is the way that you can amass a good capital sum for the future, if you want to possess a life that is real. Do we have real lives? Is this what you envisioned when you were 16? I don't know if it's real or not. What's the criteria? How do you nurture a real life? What's the real bottom line? We are up to our necks in debt, aren't we? Think of these star-making factories, billions of years in the works, so that we could be here. There'd be minerals in our bodies. And the blue-green algae in the seas of the world, this magical, mystical passage. And the rainforest of the Amazon giving us the oxygen we need to live. The mitochondria of our own cells. How many billions is that? I love the day we all manufactured our own lungs. Wasn't that a good day? You remember that? All the fun we had doing that. And then the day we installed our own circulatory systems. That was a great one, too. It was a little harder, but okay. And then when we designed the synapses in our brain, those electrical jump points, you know, each one you do. It's kind of cute if you think about it. I forgot. When did we come up with consciousness? I keep forgetting. When was that? Who remembers? Miracle after miracle inside of miracle. And we can take it for granted. The temple in Jesus' day was a combination of Wall Street, Congress, and the Vatican. It was that bad. And they were the economic engine driving everything. And they drove over everyone, trampling especially the poorest, as we heard in the text, devouring the homes of widows. Can you imagine living in a society which would live off the backs of the poorest people? Wouldn't that be terrible? Who would want to be alive at a time like that? Hideous, just hideous. And Jesus witnesses one of these widows whose home had clearly been devoured, right? She's placing her last two coins as kind of a Hail Mary in the temple treasury. This is not a story of ultimate sacrifice. He is outraged because she's been trampled and has no hope. Some of the friends with him are taken in by the glorious splendor of the temple. How exquisitely it is adorned. Oh, And he predicts the temple will be destroyed. Not one stone will be left standing upon another, because it has been built. Its very existence stands upon exploitation. And when people hear that, and this is where we get this language in the Scriptures, people began to say, the world's coming to an end. That's what that means. I mean, if the temple goes down, the heart of our infrastructure, if it goes down, the world will end, won't it? It's coming to an end. And what Jesus predicted happened 40 years after his death, when the Romans in 70 AD tore it down completely, and they shoved these exquisitely cut stones over the edge of the Temple Mount, so that now they're only a few, 50 yards at the most from the Wailing Wall. Those which stood 2,000 years ago are now littered at the bottom of the Temple Mount. Bev and I have seen it. I think a couple of others of you have too. 2,000 years, they just sit there. Garbage. And Jesus says, don't get caught up in this stuff, friends. Pay attention to what's essential. The Bar Anasha, the new humanity which he is giving birth to among all of us. Because today what we need is a new bottom line. The one we've got is not working. Is it? For some, not most. We need a new bottom line which will come through people who are profoundly aware of and grateful for the magnificence inside of which we live. To carry that awareness into conscious daily practice, we are inside of a miracle. And these will be people who are deeply devoted to the common good, the well-being of all, which not only Jesus, but our Scriptures insist upon again and again and again, for all the children of God to be blessed and the whole of creation to be blessed. Not just some, not just the best, all. We immediately start to calculate the odds, don't we? It's not going to work. And therefore we think we've just defeated the gospel. Done. See you next Sunday. It's hopeless, isn't it? Is that where the gospel goes? Absolute commitment to making it happen with us. God never says, love me alone. Never. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love those in need. Love the whole creation. Love in all directions. You can do it. Which is why spiritual community comes together. This is not a place. It's an energy field, pulsating possibilities of encouragement for one another and who we can become and how we can best serve this world and God's people in this time and place. It happens in a whole variety of ways. Some of the current ones we're expressing here at Peace. Our worship itself, partnerships around the world, spiritual direction, the counseling center, labyrinth ministry, pastoral care, quality education, shoebox ministry, Danville rehabilitation, Christmas concerts coming up, all of our justice commitments, jazz, church, west, teaching parish, interns, interfaith, healing prayer, art and spirituality, animal blessings, First Friday films, and music. Do we ever say to Gary, please, that was too beautiful, don't do that again. That was too much. No, we say, more! More! Give us more! Isn't that what we're saying to each other? And that's the encouragement in this energy field. Give us more! Give us the best! Love in all the directions. Why stop? And Jesus is adamant that the one thing he treasures most is this bringing together a full unity of what he calls Abba and bread. He wants them unified in our lives and in his communities. So some of us are drawn to Abba, Ima, the divine source. That really feeds. That's where we connect with God. Whether it's stillness or prayer, meditation, music, celebration, dance, just to cultivate that in healing. That is what we really need. The temptation, though, sometimes, is to forget about the bread, though, and the hungry, and the exploited. You say, but that can be too depressing or too political. Others of us are drawn to strive for social change and justice and creating the overcoming of exploitation. But the temptation for us can be to forget about that insatiable hunger inside of every human being to be loved as we are. That deep longing that everyone has for unconditional love, which bread alone cannot satisfy. So we have the community to remind us of the whole and keep bringing it back together and interweaving so that this unity becomes real, the cohesiveness of mystery and history. Life is interdependent. And after all the good work and energy that you invest in daily tasks and whatever the commitments you have in your lives, the truth is that all that we are and do after that is dependent upon everyone else. Family and friends and loved ones, community, society, church, finally divine grace. Which was thinking ahead a little bit when star factories got formed. You know, what is that, 11 billion years ago? Not bad. So that we could be here. We're all debtors, aren't we? We are born indebted to life. Most of us don't like being in that position. But I'd love to remind you that the first one to forgive debts is always God. Which is why God remains so baffling to us. Forgive. I got this long list of folks who owe me. Big time. But the forgiveness of God, you see, is like that of the prodigal child returning. It's not about, let's go on moping, and wailing, and all your grief, and keep repent. God says, get over it. No! Live your life. Love your life. Live in communion with all. Make it real. Amen. Peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.